Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I have somebody who's mocking me as I'm starting this episode.
It's not me.
We got a great show in store as we are coming off the heels of one of football's most holiest days, and that is the Super Bowl. But we didn't watch the Super Bowl. We watched the trailers and the commercials and all the good things that really come out of watching.
You say that like... Some of us had a choice, and some of us just came over and then were forced to watch commercials. Why would you want to be advertised to for free after the fact? What?
Because then you'll get to see all the people who have to waste their money for the same stuff and pay $60 million to reach out to people that could have just been easily reached for like $10,000 or so. We got a great show in store as we will be discussing the trailers, teasers, and spots coming off of this past weekend and get into the nitty-gritty of a couple that really have our attention. So, but before we do, Spencer, why don't you throw the pass over to the opening credits?
I don't watch football enough to understand that. Tune in each and every Wednesday morning on all your favorite streaming platforms and over on our website at filmlosophers.com. Also, connect with us on the social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101.
That's right. We got over 300 episodes over at our website. Head over there to check us out. We got everything from horror to sci-fi to romantic comedy. We got everything. You'll like us. Give us a try. Head over to our website, filmlosophers.com. Also, find us on any streaming platforms where you listen to podcasts, and that is Apple Play, Google, Libsyn, Google Play, iTunes, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, all of those places. Tune in on your own devices and ways you listen, and give us a follow, and give us a 5-star review if you'd like. I think we've deserved it. We've worked hard. We've been doing this for too long. We work hard. We have a great show in store. Like I said, as we're going to be discussing the recently dropped and very much talked about trailers, teasers, and spots coming from the Super Bowl weekend. But before we do, I'm going to throw it over to our wonderful stenographer slash part-timer slash intern, Amy, who is here with us today.
Nobody knew I was here. It's brilliant.
Everybody knew you were here.
That entire open? No. Nope. I was silent. I was that uncomfortable.
She was the mocking,
was the mocking
person at the other end of this table.
Like, I just closed my eyes. I could do the... It was just, yeah. Keep going.
Like I said, we have a great show to talk about. But before we jump into that, Amy is here to discuss her recent escapades into her journey for Jane on Scene, and she apparently brought us a couple movies that honestly neither of us would probably watch. Oh, well, there you go.
It worked both ways. So yes, usually I will go and find movies that I have not seen that have been out for quite a bit, but this time, of course, because it was the day of Saint Valentine's, I wanted to take a peek at what some of the various streaming platforms were offering as options to get your heart a-swoonin'. So,
a-swoonin', huh?
A-swoonin'. So, of course, being brought to Peacock via, thank you, Verizon, we had Marry Me featuring Jennifer Lopez, Maluma, you might also know him as Mariano from Encanto, and then, of course, Mr. Wow, Owen Wilson has the other person in this role. So Marry Me is based on a comic book. I believe it's named by Bobby Crosby. I can't remember your last name. I'm sorry, my friend. But the concept is these two pop stars, one played by J-Lo, the other, of course, by... I'm just going to call him Mariano. I'm sorry, my man. I know you're like Maluma or something. But anyway, two pop stars. They're big, dramatic couple in public. They're going to get married. They wrote a song called Marry Me. So they're going to sing the song Marry Me on stage to like 20 million, to each other in front of 20 million people, and then get married. But guess what happens, Spencer?
What happens?
they find out that, oh, shocker, Maluma, whose name is Bastion in this, okay, has been sleeping with J-Lo's personal assistant. And it's all over the news and everything. So she's fully dressed in her wedding gown at her concert with her former fiance, who's pretending like nothing's wrong. And she's in front of all these people. She finds out right before she goes on stage, she's in this giant dress. And so she goes out on stage. She has the house lights come up. She stops the music. She looks around. She gives this conversation about love and how love, you know, is all these things. And she looks out into the crowd and she sees Owen Wilson, who by happenstance is there because Sarah Silverman's ex-girlfriend and ex-ex-girlfriend basically stood her up for this concert. Anywhooski, Sarah Silverman is a gem. She's great in this. So much comedic. So much comedy. Anyway, he's holding a sign that says, marry me. And she's like, yes, I'll marry you. Ta-da! So literally, Owen Wilson and J-Lo get married on stage. And then it's a whirlwind 3 to 6 months where they are together, but not together, where he kind of gets her. And so he's doing that, let me treat you like a normal human being type of jam. And of course, he's like a middle school math teacher or some shenanigans. Anywhooski.
Oh man, I bet his social pages are blowing up.
He had no social pages.
Oh.
And now he does because of her. But it's this whole thing. Basically, long story short, if you want to see really, really cheesy, like, will you marry me again after, you know, our 6 months, that's literally what ends up happening at the end of the movie, is after the 6 months, they're going to get divorced officially. J-Lo's like, shows up at a math elite, and it's so ridiculous.
Wait, they get divorced.
So the rule was that she decided she wanted to stick this out, even though it was like her fifth marriage.
Okay.
So real life, got it.
So she believes in true love. He's a realist. He's like, no, marriage is work. His first press conference with her, he basically says, well, marriage was transactional. It was a business deal. You give me a cow, or I give you a cow, you give me your daughter. Like, there was no love about it. And I think that's where we're all jaded. I was like, dang, Owen Wilson. Okay. And J-Lo's like, but love we believe in. So it's this whole dichotomy of people, one person not believing something and one person believing something. But so 6 months, after the 6 months, they were going to give him a check for his school and he could go on his way, and they were all copacetic, and they hit that mark, and she suddenly realizes she actually has feelings for him and not with her former ex-fiance who continually tries to manipulate her and get back with her. And but basically she shows up. She shows up at a math elite like event with a sign that she's taken from the hallways, and she says, marry me. And then she has another sign that says, again. And you're like, oh no.
Desperation is not a good look on you, J-Lo.
This is not wedding planner. Like, baby J-Lo, when she was first learning the ropes. Come on, girl. But this one. So yeah. There's some bops in it if you want, but not. She's J-Lo. And wow, Owen Wilson. Like, he says wow like twice. And my offspring wanted him to say ka-chow and not wow. So there was some anger. All right. Next one up. I promise I'm going as quick as I can. Coming out of Amazon Prime, we had Book of Love with Sam. I cannot pronounce your name. Last name, Sam Cleflin. He was Finnick O'Dare in Hunger Games. He was also in Me Before You with, I cannot remember, Emilia Clarke. But this one does not have either of those people. It has Lucy Punch and another wonderful actress. Basically, Sam is playing a author from England. His name is Henry. Henry's written this book called The Sensible Heart. And The Sensible Heart apparently is a giant stinker, except in Mexico, where it's been translated by our other, I guess we would call her protagonist, might not be a romantic interest at the beginning of this sucker, but she turned it into a steamy telenovela about like two people who basically rip off their clothes and the wife has an affair with this man because her husband is gay and she catches him in bed with another man and all of these. It's, yeah.
That does sound like a
telenovela. it sounds like a telenovela. But we proceed through this and we're finding out that stuffy Henry is slowly changing, becoming more relaxed after meeting Maria, who's his translator in Mexico while he's on this whirlwind book tour. And it all culminates with a telenovela love triangle type of ending. And then it's okay. It's mostly in Spanish. I appreciated it. He also calls himself a spoon in Spanish.
Oh, because he doesn't speak Spanish.
Yeah, he doesn't speak Spanish. So he has a translation book and he's trying to make everything better. And he says that, you know, Maria, she thinks I'm a spoon. And I'm like, huh. I feel that. Okay. But out of the two, if I was going to recommend anything for you...
It's the J-Lo movie.
No. No, it's not the J-Lo movie. Even though there's a lot of production value in the J-Lo movie. Book of Love actually was slightly more refreshing. And most of it was in Spanish, which was more fun if you left off the captions. Because you got to learn, you got to pick up on things. But yeah, it was a little more down to earth. It was a little more fun. And it wasn't as, I'm not going to say convoluted, but it might have been like less convoluted. Anyhooski, I've watched these, so you don't have to. That means you can listen to this or decide to watch them. I really have no way of telling you either way what to do.
Well, I definitely am not going to watch that J-Lo movie.
Don't worry, you don't have to.
Definitely not going to see any of those movies, but we're okay.
Yep. I also rounded out today by watching Never Been Kissed Again, so that was awkward. Because there were some things that did not age well in that movie, and I love that movie, okay? I'm done.
Okay, well, after that
welcome
sad
back
bit
to
of
me.
Section from our show.
Tag.
It just gets cut, and there's like a post-production, and he's like, well, thank you. If you want to hear that piece of Jane Unseen, please talk to Amy, because I'm
go.
Not publishing it.
Most probably true. But like I said, we got a great show. Thank you, Amy, for sharing that. And of course, you can catch Amy and all of her stuff over at our Instagram page. We'll give you the link at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we're talking about the trailers and the teasers and all the wonderful things from this past weekend, which happened to be Super Bowl Sunday.
What was it? The Bengals versus the Rams. I thought they were the Chargers. It's the LA Rams versus the Cincinnati Bengals.
I really don't care.
I don't know.
There were games over.
There was
and
somebody
we're
in a onesie that was a tiger.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, the mascot.
So okay. Anyway, we're talking about trailers, teasers, and spots.
Not a
before
leopard.
Amy keeps commandeering the whole entire show with her ridiculousness.
That was an abrupt cut. I don't know what happened to your final countdown.
You keep taking it away. So, it's true. We're going to discuss the different teasers, trailers, and spots that debuted during the Super Bowl or was intended for it to be debuted during the Super Bowl. So, even if it was something that came out a couple days prior or during the course of the week, if it aired during the Super Bowl, we are going to talk about it because there's just no other way to say that we need to make an excuse to talk about some of these trailers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm excited. Spencer, did you happen to get a chance to see the Super Bowl this past weekend?
Of course not. I don't even know why you bothered
asking.
I
asked because
in the spirit of like, you know, oh, it's a podcast, let's talk. Like, that's not the question you ask. It's always a nope from me.
It was a good question. It was decent
nope
enough.
But nope is a good question.
Oh my God.
He noped it.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, nope. I'm derailing everything.
Yeah, you know what we're excited about.
No.
So,
I haven't been gone for a couple of weeks. It's great.
Welcome back.
Probably for good reason. So let's jump into the first teaser spot that we had in the Super Bowl, and that was the Sonic 2 spot.
Can we just appreciate, before we even get into this, what a wild ride it's been with Sonic movie franchise.
True.
From that meow fiasco of like 2019.
Yeah.
Where he looked hideous and terrible, to the movie being good, to them making a sequel to the movie. Like, I'm just shocked we're even here.
Is that why you were laughing at me earlier when I meowed at you?
What? Like, did,
I don't know. I was I went meow.
What are you talking about? Laughing at me.
I don't know. It was weird. So this trailer slash teaser for Sonic 2 is.
Steve.
We're not looking at Amy. We're looking at the.
Nobody looks at me. Nobody can see me.
No, it's
you're not
the original design for Sonic, where he had those awful human-like.
He had the human baby eyes too.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, what are the things you have to recognize? You have to appreciate is the fact. Yes, it has been a journey for this franchise. It has been a journey for that director, because the same director who had his directorial debut with the first Sonic film is back to direct the second Sonic film. The film starring Ben Schwartz, Colleen O'Shaughnessy, Idris Elba, James Marsden, Tika Sumpter, Natasha Rothwell, Adam Pauly, Shamar Moore, and of course Jim Carrey. The movie looks interesting, but I don't know what it is about the man, but the fact that the moment Idris Elba, in whatever form, shape, or whatever, comes on screen,
we're just yes.
It's like, yes.
Yes.
This man, I will listen to this man do tire commercials. I enjoyed his, what was that commercial he did during the Super Bowl?
Booking.com.
Was it Booking.com?
Yes, he bleeped himself and they had to put a bleep over his bleep. It was really cute.
I even enjoyed that. The man is just a joy to see on screen. I mean, from Luther to The Office to everything he's done in film.
Zootopia.
You know, to be honest, I actually really enjoyed his role. I didn't like the whole film, but I enjoyed his role in The Dark Tower. Hmm. Like he does it really well. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's just a great actor. And I mean, Spencer, out of all the Fast and the Furious movies that we've seen thus far,
which is the one?
His villain role is the one I actually like.
Is that like, the Hobbs and Shaw movie?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, well, that's great.
I mean, I only saw
the third one.
I mean, it's not technically like a true Fast, because what is like Fast and Furious Presents or Fast and Furious something?
Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw.
And does it have a colon in it?
I think so.
Then yeah, it's a spin-off.
But it's good.
Yeah.
And it's really fun.
Okay.
But going back to Sonic 2, I mean, we're going to get the introduction of Tails. We're getting big mustache Dr. Robot. Ooh, Dr. Wow. Robotnik.
That sounded like there was an issue.
I got shot. No.
He's a proper egghead now.
Well, with all the technology that he's created off-world and brought here, we're finally going to see the introduction of, like, the gems. Mm. It looks interesting, and like I said, the movie was okay up until you get the introduction of Knuckles, voiced by one Idris Elba. I have one small catch to this.
Do you have a caveat?
Yeah, like in terms of my attachment to wanting to see it.
If Knuckles is in there for less than 5 minutes, you're going to ask for a refund on your ticket?
Well, technically, like no.
That's the right answer.
Well, no.
There is the right answer.
He can't, because of the fact that they've already agreed, they've already confirmed that they're doing a Knuckles spinoff series on Paramount Plus, as well as there's already a green light for Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Just let me know when you need my password for Paramount Plus.
No, let's not talk about it.
You know, this is recorded.
Rant about Paramount Plus and their shenanigans.
You do know this is going to go on the internet of you telling people that you're giving away passwords and
no,
stuff.
No, I'm not.
Like. So here's the one catch.
Where's the sheep?
Here's the one caveat I have for this movie coming out. Because of this trailer, this last trailer, there was a certain way his voice sounded. I'm just really hoping they're not trying to make his accent an American accent. You know? Like, Idris Elba is English.
Yeah.
Everybody should know that. I would like for Knuckles to have that original Idris Elba voice. Not changed, not, you know, done up. And it sounded kind of like there was a very hard curve on one of the words he was saying in the spot in the Super Bowl that I'm like, please don't do that. Like, don't change his voice. The man has a great voice. I mean, I'm just saying. I don't know. What do you guys think? the trailers, whatever.
As I have been saying for years, trailers are lies. So, like, even if in this trailer he hasn't, like, an American style, that might not be something that carries over to the final product. So, you know.
That's a good point. I mean, we all remember how the whole fiasco, like we said earlier, with the with the design of Sonic.
Yeah.
Well, he could also be mocking Sonic.
That's a good point, too.
I don't know.
Hey, it's no. Idris Elba. He can do whatever he wants.
Well, that's very clear. Bond. Like, there's no...
Bond. Bond.
Okay, he has to switch to American to mock Sonic. He's mostly British. Except when he's mocking you, then he's American.
I mean...
the biggest dig of them all.
At this point, yes.
I feel like we should feel bad for that, but we don't.
No.
So, what are your guys' thoughts on the traction that this movie is making in terms of trying to get better with every, you know, turn that it comes to? Like, we all thought the first iteration of the trailer was garbage, and everybody voiced their opinion. They changed his look. He got better. Movie was still all right. It wasn't the greatest thing, but it was good.
It was better than I thought it was going to be, which is saying a lot.
Well, let's be honest. How much money did they actually spend on the movie before they had to change the eyes? And they were willing to release it with the eyes. So in this case, I think this is the one, and I'm going to say this very delicately, the one time that I agree that the fans making a shift for the final product was not only necessary, but could... their encouragement was what made it a success, because other than that, this would have been incredible bulk territory.
You mean amazing bulk?
No, incredible, because I'm just changing it up now. I will never qualify the proper name.
So you just don't know what it is. It's okay.
It's a all bulk.
Right. No one should know what that movie is.
That's why I'm deterring people.
What about you, Spence? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, it's a real kind of wait and see with me, because, like, I'm going to go see this movie because, like, I was impressed with what they did in the last one. Mm-hmm. You know, actually listening to people when they said this design was bad and they were expressing it in an okay-ish way. So I'm like, yeah, ish. yelling across the internet, this sucks! but, yeah, I'm like, okay, you've earned enough credit for a sequel that I will sit through. And we will see if it's any good.
I'll sit on my couch for it. To be very honest.
Amy apparently has no intention of seeing it in theaters.
No. Here's the thing. This is James Marsden, not Jason Marsden. And I always have to remind myself which one is which, because one is
I never learned.
Jason is Goofy's son, Maximilian. And James is Teddy from Wild Wild World. I was in Wild Wild West. Westworld. New Westworld. Not original Westworld. So the thing that I... like, while it was the first one, he looked like Sonic. That was great. I was like, okay. And the question or not now, especially considering what we have going on with the continued longevity of a virus that just won't quit, and people's excitement to go back to normal, I'm going to be much more apprehensive or selective, as it were, and less apprehensive, more selective on my choices when I am engaging in film, especially in the confines of a theater. Now, if I'm going to my car and I happen to go to the drive-in.
See, that's where it's at. That's where it's at.
And somebody happens to pay for my ticket, I might watch it. Is all I'm saying. A bop and a poopy.
What? Okay. yeah, I don't know. It's still, like, if they make really drastic changes to the way the character works or even the way the performers work, I don't know. Like Spence's, I intend to see it, obviously, but from which lens I see it through, that'll be dependent on how much more we see in the trailers and teasers and whatnot. So, moving on, let's talk about the wonderful and really unique movie of Ambulance.
You mean the movie that we forgot was pushed back and thought it already came out?
I don't know what it is. I didn't see the trailer. I'm not going to see the trailer. So,
directed and produced by Michael Bay, the movie stars Jake exactly Gyllenhaal, right. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, and Aiza Gonzalez. Essentially, honestly, what you get out of the trailer is you get a bunch of jumbled images. Yahya Abdul-Mateen is typical, you know, family man who wants to get home to his kids, wife and kids. He works with Jake Gyllenhaal as a EMS worker. And apparently L.A. is a nonstop battleground where everybody is shooting and going off and going nuts.
It's not Escape from L.A.?
It looks like it.
It's not.
But it's in modern day. Right. So like everybody's shooting at the middle, like grand intersections and everything. So
the Running Man.
No,
be a Running Man.
No. So I don't know what the whole purpose of this one is. Directed and produced by Michael Bay.
That says no.
That's a big red flag for me. Michael Bay's a dirty old man. The fact that he brings back Isa Gonzalez, I believe Isa Gonzalez is the same girl who was in one of the last Transformers movies.
Is it the one with the knights or the dinosaurs? Or the dinosaur knights?
I don't like how...
Oh, no, that's not her. I'm sorry.
Those are both true things, and it sounds ridiculous.
Sorry, it's with the woman from Baby Driver. The one who plays...
Deborah?
No, the one who's love interest to John Hamm.
So your man crush. Got it.
Get it right. But she's in this as well.
I can't get everything right. I've already established that.
So... I don't know if there's enough to really kind of base this movie, like base a thought or an opinion on this movie quite yet. The fact that Michael Bay has not really done anything substantial within the last 10 years really doesn't give me enough reason to say, oh, I'm all in. This wasn't a good...
It's Michael Bay. Like, really? Aren't you one of the ones that I think you guys were one of the first people I heard that called him Boom Boom Bay. So in other words...
Oh, no, I've been calling him that for the last 7 years. Like, if you go back to the stuff I write,
So as long as I've known you...
Yeah, pretty
you've
been much.
Calling him Boom Boom.
Like,
so this is literally when you said, this is a red flag for me. I'm like, yep, we're not in relationships with this director anymore. We need to go.
Yeah, I need more information to actually see if there's substance to this film.
I think that's a
Spencer,
no.
Spencer, are you doing
Spencer.
A breathing exercise over there?
Sorry. No, that was like the face.
I just learned something. I didn't realize he was doing another Transformers movie.
Yeah.
I just found that.
What is that, Rise of the Beast?
Yeah.
Is it the Beast Wars?
It had better not be.
It's supposed to be Beast Wars, essentially.
Oh. I'm starting an email campaign. This is
I'm going to write a letter.
Put it on Reddit. Let the masses know. Because no, if this is Beast Wars, oh, you're so sad now. Oh, I'm sorry.
Beast Wars was my thing, Michael Bay. Stay in your own dang lane.
It's true, though.
You're really broken up by.
Yes! Stay away from my childhood. You're just going to blow it up.
That's actually a really good.
Excuse me. Where was all that when he was blowing up my childhood with Transformers?
It still is Transformers.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Yeah, whatever.
They were out to make money, and it was the main franchise, so I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're after my portion of the franchise.
Now I care.
I understand that fully. I'm okay with that, buddy.
Going back really quick to this, I don't really know. I don't really care because Michael Bay is attached to it. There's not enough star power behind it to really keep me interested. Meh.
And Jake Gyllenhaal made Taylor Swift mad, so we're all out.
Everybody knows that one. Moving forward with the Netflix / Adam Project trailer. I have to admit, the fact that Netflix trailer has several different announcements in it.
So the Netflix 2022 collection announcement. That's what we're talking about, not just the Adam Project.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying.
Funnily enough, I somehow missed that announcement and only saw the Adam.
Well, so the thing is that they debuted online a 7-minute version of that.
Oh.
Because it gives more content for each of the things promoted.
Yeah, they didn't want to spend $200 million to do that same trailer.
No, they spent it on one of those movies.
So there's all these different movies that are being announced, movies done by really great individuals. Like you got Mark Wahlberg, who's doing one of the movies, Kevin Hart. You have, what's his name?
Jason Momoa in Slumberland. We've got Knives Out coming. Knives Out 2, pardon me. Oh, I make you sad? You could start listing the ones in there.
No, go ahead.
No, keep going, because I brought up Jason Momoa, and that was the one I was really excited about. The Adam Project's in there as well. The 7-minute sequence is a lot better than whatever was shown on the televisor.
You have Ryan Gosling, who's doing a film as well. Obviously, the big one that everybody's excited about is the sequel to the great mystery film Knives Out. They're doing a Knives Out 2 that is debuting specifically for Netflix, which is really weird.
Is it weird that I feel like this movie's going to be worse?
I don't know. The fact that it's going to be debuting on a streaming service instead of in theaters really kind of says a lot about the efforts behind the film and whether or not they believe in it. I mean, they're like, quick, just give me the money now. We'll just take what we have instead of like, no, let's let it go to theaters and give it a chance.
They're on a boat. In the great scape of all Agatha Christie novels, what have we understood about boats and mysteries?
That they there was sink. One movie about it or they one book sink. About it. Okay. I don't know where you're going with that, but there was a murder on a boat in Agatha Christie's novel.
And still, of the other like movies that are made off Agatha Christie books, that one is not the best one. So I'm really hopeful that this one doesn't stink or sink. Yar, it's a boat joke. But the Adam Project, I hear things about the Adam Project, Eddie. Do you hear things about the Adam Project?
I don't know. I'm trying to make sense of anything that you're bringing to the table right now, to be quite frank.
I'm just going like, to sit here for the next 10 minutes. Okay, guys? Go ahead.
Anyway, the Ryan Reynolds film that's being debuted on Netflix with Ryan Reynolds, you got Mark Ruffalo, you got Jennifer Garner. They all are in this sci-fi world, and it looks interesting. Apparently, there's an extended trailer for the film on YouTube, and it's kind of like the tail end of Zathura. Did you see that movie, Zathura?
I saw the trailer for it, and I feel like I saw enough.
Oh, my gosh. the tail end of Zathura is essentially the main... the guy who's come to say everybody is actually a grown-up version of the little boy, and it's like, oh, whatever. So that's what you learn in this one. Ryan Reynolds is a grown-up version of the little boy, and they decide to do time travel to try to save their dad, apparently. Do you mind pulling your mic back to your thing and take yourself out of time out, apparently? Are you done? Is that a no? It's funny, I was literally just talking to your daughter earlier today about silences and
You're filling the silence, so my voice wasn't needed.
Because I have to, because you're not talking.
Make them do work, Spencer.
Wait. I do all the work. What do you mean, do the work? I do all of it. My gosh. Okay, so whatever with the Netflix thing, who knows? Blah, blah, blah. The next one apparently is the movie with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum called The Lost City. I didn't really see the trailer all that much. I saw bits and pieces of the other trailer that was dropped, but to be honest, it still doesn't look good at all.
It's a rom-com slash trying to be Romancing the Stone for a new age.
Pretty much, I guess. Sandra Bullock plays a writer who makes romance novels based on this character that she ends up creating in the likeness of Channing Tatum, who in real life is this model that she kind of is his muse. And she ends up going missing because Daniel Radcliffe, who plays a bad guy in this one, thinks that Sandra Bullock...
Two times. He was the bad guy in Now You See Me Too.
I forgot about that one. Essentially, Daniel Radcliffe plays this bad guy who thinks Sandra Bullock knows where this lost city is because her books are ultimately about all of that, which that makes perfect sense. She's all of a sudden the material expert on this lost city because her books talk about a lost city.
Okay.
I don't really get the movie. I don't get the allure. I like Sandra Bullock, but this is one of those instances where it's like, I don't know if she's making the right choices with these movies. I mean, I don't think it's a Netflix movie. This is a movie that's on...
I don't know what it's on, but it's
not. Well, you're nodding your head like I was supposed to. You're going to know.
Oh, no. No. I just keep thinking about Romancing the Stone. Like, I honestly do.
It's Paramount. I see their logo.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But it doesn't look like it's going to drop
on... Spencer is bubbling with the rage.
Yeah, it just says like it's going to be in theaters next month.
It'll be on Paramount Plus. Rajay.
Okay.
It's my fancy way to say rage. Spencer's just quietly staring at the computer like, no, never again.
I mean, despite the fact that Brad Pitt is in it, I don't know if there's a lot in here that's really going to work. Mm-hmm. It looks too corny. It looks too cheesy. Like you said, a modern day ripoff of Romancing the Stone. So, but let's jump into one that I know Spencer does want to talk about, and that is the trailer to a little prehistoric film called Jurassic World Dominion.
You may have heard of the franchise. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Spencer hasn't been talking much this episode, so I don't know if he's got something to say about it. But
no, a lot of it's just been me being sad about Transformers. It's like coasting.
Oh,
gosh. I don't know how I missed that 6 months ago. Okay, anyway, Jurassic World. They're bringing the gang back, and I'm very excited. I was so excited. I text Eddie like the second I saw the trailer. I was like, it's happening. They're back.
Directed by Colin Trevorrow, including film includes Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, Laura Dern, Sam Neill, Jeff Goldblum, Daniela Pineda, Isabella Sermon, Justice Smith, Omar Sy, and of course the bad guy himself, BD Wong.
Boo.
I'm excited about the film mostly because, like you said, they bring the whole gang back together. You have, you know, Jeff Goldblum's character. You have Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Dr. Sattler, Dr. Grand. You know, everybody's here. The only thing they're missing are the two kids, but I don't think those kids are acting anymore. So. You know, and then I don't know. I'm really excited to see where this goes because, I mean, it's taking a whole new perspective. The trailer or the spot that they showed prior to the actual trailer was really interesting when they're at the movie theaters and the T-Rex is being chased through the forest. That was really cool. And then now combining it with this trailer, like the first thing that I thought was like, I got all in the feels of seeing Laura Dern and Sam Neill again. Like we haven't seen them since, you know, the raptor was like, Alan. So I don't know.
I'm going to need a raptor to do that to Owen and Alan in this movie.
I hope not. I really hope not. They're all like in the plane heading back and they're all like snuggled together. And it's like, what is Chris Pratt's character's name?
Owen.
Owen. Oh, like Alan and Owen. It's like, no, you died. I don't know. What about you, Amy? How do you feel about the movie?
I still get confused because I watched the second original one where Jeff Goldblum had a daughter. So I can't tell which this one is. But seeing the trailer, I went, oh, it's the original team. Wait, where is his daughter? Oh, wait, the other raptor has a baby. Are we protecting the baby? I don't know. That's what I saw in the trailer.
Hmm.
I'm excited, but not excited mostly because I'm kind of Chris Pratted out.
She's only seen the first and the second of the original trilogy. Okay. And then the first one of the sequel
of
trilogy.
The new one.
You've seen all the important bits. That's nothing good in that third one.
Spencer's lead. Spencer told me what I was supposed to watch.
She didn't see the raptor saying Alan. Excuse me, do not look at me and not say that that's not important.
That is important. You have shown me. I have been sent.
Hold on,
that.
I'm over here adjusting my mic so I can sit up better. Hold on. You will not besmirch the good name of Jurassic Park, sir.
No, I could not stand. What was her name? Tierra Leone?
Tierra Leone?
Yeah. Her screaming on that island for 2 hours looking for her kid. It's an island full of dinosaurs, ma'am. You do not scream on an island full of dinosaurs. They come to eat you. Eat you and your kid.
And we
do you
learned think they that know from that? The, hey, we learned that from the first one of the new franchise.
Oh yeah, Tia Loni.
Literally, all the people screaming and running with their margaritas in their hands, they all got eaten. Facts.
Well, I mean, Warren Buffett got paid good to show up in that, so.
He did. Mm-hmm. Good job, Warren.
William H. Macy, Tia Loni. That was a good movie. I mean,
you
I don't
serious
care.
Right now?
I, you know what? Despite everything else, the most I will give in terms of like bad movies an actual good grade, this is an enjoyable bad movie. Between them recreating like the larynx of the, the
velociraptor. That's not how throats. No.
To the raptors being confused as to who they should listen to because somebody is blowing on it. And obviously he does not look like a raptor. But they're like, should we eat him? Should we don't? Moving forward, moving back, moving forward, moving back. And then apparently Laura Dern has connections to like military governments and stuff like that. And
you don't mess with Laura Dern. Yeah,
it's. See, she after all that, is that army. Was it?
Although that was confusing at the end of the movie, where there was like one guy on the beach. He's like, "Oh, we're here for you."
Yeah. See. Tell me that wasn't enjoyable just talking about it.
No. Okay. Here's what my real problem with that movie is that. It was done by someone who wasn't John Williams, and I bought that soundtrack, and I'm still salty about that.
And okay, I fixed you did that for Christmas, very like lovely. A couple Christmases ago. I bought you the original one on vinyl, and I was like, we're fixing this now.
The third one was enjoyable. It wasn't good, but it was enjoyable, and it was funny. And the fact that that was the last we saw of Dr. Grant and Dr. Sattler.
That was sad.
It was sad, but it was still like, oh my God, I can't believe I just watched this. It feels like one of those movies that you watch after like ingesting substances that alter your mind. Like it's one of those types of situations that I'm pretty sure would be a great trip. I would never do it, but I'm just saying. And then we got the first of the sequel trilogy with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, which was really good.
Yeah.
The sequel, which was hot garbage.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of at that point on this third one where this needs to land. Mm-hmm. They literally, it's like buying the best ingredients to make a dinner and you end up with like a mess. You know, you have everything you need.
You mean it looks like a mess?
No, everything's a mess.
You don't know if it tastes good until you put it in your face, but it could look gnarly. Trailers.
Eating food is like 80% eyes. So like you literally have to see it and it kind of has to look good for you to fully enjoy the experience.
You like beef stroganoff?
Yeah, actually.
It doesn't always look appealing.
It looks like beef stroganoff and I like it. Go ahead, keep going.
It's good. Gray, yeah, and a mess. It's, and yeah. Yes, it's delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
But it does not attract
it. It does. It is very attractive. I would date beef stroganoff in a heartbeat. Go ahead. Go ahead, keep going.
We'll let your girlfriend know about that one. Right, Spence? We'll let his girlfriend know. It'll be great.
Great. But
great.
But I think the hardest and biggest pill to swallow in this franchise is the turn of BD Wong and realizing he's the bad guy in it. Like, I've spent years and years of watching him in Law & Order SVU. The man has come in clutch on several things in terms of, like, child psychology and just understanding. Like, he has been the person who has made those shows make sense to me. I can't have him, after him, like, being a part of the first film, come back and say, I made Killer Dinosaur. Like, I can't take that.
Yeah, but the problem is the movie needs someone to push that forward.
And Bryce Dallas Howard.
But she's doing such a good job with Star Wars right now. We can't let her get in trouble.
It's behind the camera. It's fine.
Oh, okay. And here's the funny thing for me, BD Wong. I'm just going, you mean the assistant to Frank in Father of the Bride?
Have you seen that movie?
No.
Yeah, oh, I don't remember that movie at all either. So.
Yeah, that's Steve Martin, early 90s. And then
I remember it being on TV.
Yeah. But he's
had a nice house.
He's the assistant to the wedding planner. It's a very nice house.
This is very ridiculous.
So insane. Very nice house, but he's the assistant. So I remember BD Wong get there and he goes, it's fine. And I'm like, hee hee, BD Wong. And then the other one, I'm like, thank you. What, General Shang from Mulan? He's the speaking voice.
Oh.
So that's the other place I know BD Wong.
I thought he was captain.
Is he captain? He becomes captain. Commander at one point.
Yeah, because his father's a general. Yeah. The one that does the I'll Make a Man Out of You.
Which is sung by Donny Osmond.
Yeah.
But not BD Wong. Sorry, BD.
So, I mean, in terms of outlook on this particular film, I'm not too sure. Like, I want to. Like, yeah. Like I said,
all want to.
It has all the right ingredients, like top shelf stuff. It looks like it has the makings of something really, really wonderful. It's just kind of how it shakes out. You know.
It's beef stroganoff.
But I like beef stroganoff.
Great.
So moving forward, we're in our really big final two trailers that we definitely need to talk about.
Yes.
Specifically for movies.
And
let's talk about WandaVision Part 2.
House of M. House of M. House of M.
So we're going to, obviously, we're apparently talking about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
House of M.
Directed by Sam Raimi, stars Benedict Cumberbatch, Elizabeth Olsen, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Benedict Wong, Xochitl Gomez, Michael Stuhlbarg, and Rachel McAdams.
And TBD, all of the cameos of all you other sexy, sexy
people. Yes. Because after this last trailer,
we know
you're there.
Professor.
I will recognize that man's voice till the end of time.
What's even better is I was on YouTube and somebody had recorded it from their TV and it was lightened. You could see the back of his head. And I'm like, oh, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. You're there, buddy. I see.
I know that wrinkled backside anybody else.
It's the ear length. Like, you could literally do science and prove that it's him. And that's really
despicable.
Well,
see, the thing was, is that, like, I thought I was like, no, you're just freaking out. So, like, I had to swap over to Star Trek Picard because that's the only thing that he's been in recently. Just to hear him say a line compared to him, I'm like, yeah, I knew it.
Yeah. It's his voice is so iconic, you can't miss it. Unlike some people who can't recognize Michael Keaton's voice in the DC trailer, which it's definitively Michael Keaton.
The last time I saw Michael Keaton in something, I was watching The Founder.
He was in Spider-Man. And then he was in the trailer for Morbius.
No Way Home?
No, he was in
Homecoming.
Homecoming.
I didn't watch Homecoming before No Way Home, so it has been literally a while.
But you watched it, is what you're saying. And since No Way Home just recently came out, that means you watched it recently.
No way, not Homecoming. No, I couldn't. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It was The Founder. That's the most recent thing I'd seen him in. Sorry.
Either way,
he doesn't sound like
Patrick Stewart's voice is so iconic and so recognizable. You can't help but not. And of course, obviously, all the implications that it stands for, it being in a Doctor Strange movie, seeing as he is kind of the founding father, if you will, of the Fox franchise Marvel films. And so I think the obvious question is, does this mean it's bringing in the mutants, or does this mean it's bringing in more people from the Fox franchise of Marvel films? Like, I don't know what the implications are. I know it's one of many questions that this trailer has created.
I mean, at this point, like, Marvel could just be like, no, it's not Professor X. It's literally Patrick Stewart.
In a wheelchair?
It's actually a movie set he stumbles on. And
he just happened into that chamber with a specific number of chairs and the space in the middle that was left, like, precariously for him to wheel into as the seventh member.
Yes.
Let's tell him the truth.
Ralph Boner, like,
oh.
You know, that is probably like a lot of fans' biggest fear is that it's going to be another like
Ralph Boner.
Yeah, where we all
Bonair.
Like we get so caught up in the fact of, oh, that means this and that means that. I mean, I remember when I first saw that episode,
we all
where
it
he
was
appears,
crazy.
Where we literally thought like, oh my gosh, this is it, and then it's like, oh, his name's Ralph Boner, and it's like, why?
It's the strangest decision from WandaVision.
Because he boned us. Hello. We got boned. That was like the terrible joke. Did nobody get that? My last name was Boner.
So what I'm hoping is that I really hope, like, when we see the film and he comes out and Doctor Strange looks at him and Patrick Stewart just says, oh, call me Wheels or something. That'd be a great callback to the first X-Men movie.
Well, have we brought up the fact that J. Jonah Jameson in the Raimiverse explains, yeah, there's already a Doctor Strange. The name's taken for Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, but I don't put much credence in that because of the fact that it was the intended idea behind what Sam Raimi wanted to do prior.
But now look what Sam is doing. Also, do we know who Ted Raimi's going to be? I don't. Where's Bruce Campbell in all of this?
We all saw your Twitter post.
I don't know. I don't know what
Spencer
saw.
Spencer doesn't see anything on social media.
This is correct.
So
this is the way.
This is the way. That was good.
Wait, does that mean he didn't see the thumbnails that you made of him for a couple of episodes?
No, I saw the ones for...
Nobody's
like,
put Spencer in the corner for Dirty Dancing?
Yes, I did see that one.
Of course he saw that one. I ran it by him
before
I posted it.
There's no way he wouldn't like at least show it off.
Yeah, are you kidding?
Show it off, exactly, okay.
Yeah. This movie has this trailer has so many different questions that are now being created, not only just based on the trailer drop, but even the poster drop that came about.
And the TV spot.
And the TV spot that came with it. There's a lot of different elements that are in all these things. I mean, one of the biggest things that people are getting excited for is how much, number one, this movie is beginning to mirror that which we've seen in the What If series, the Disney Plus What If series. But not only that, the trailers have begun to give way to the multiverse, the different types of universes that are within this franchise, including one that's all cartoon. Amy, you sent that to me today.
Yep.
But they had mentioned it yesterday in New Rockstar's video. They showed it.
Oh, I didn't get to see it.
It was like really quick, but yeah.
It's literally falling through all the multiple planes. And I had brought up, and I think I sent it to you, that when Wanda and Steven are having that conversation where it looks kind of like spiderwebby, that's the side of the plane that she has to walk through for magic. Like, it's essentially almost like a negaverse, but she literally has to traverse and walk through it for magic. But that's also like Agatha Harkness stuff. And then it goes comic books. And then I'm like, there's so much in
well,
here.
And supposedly that scene where they're talking and everything's read, that's literally in the same scenes where Doctor Strange is walking to talk to Wanda while she's like pruning stuff off the trees and there's sheep in the background and everything. Which could lend itself to the idea that this is all just a construct of her own mind.
House of M.
And also, we have to remember, this is Disney. So everything is also suspect here.
Yeah.
So if there's one thing that I know Spencer stands for more than anything else,
the mouse
it's
lies.
His stand on the fact that Disney Marvel lies.
Yes.
Specifically not, Disney Marvel.
Not Kevin Feige. He doesn't lie. He just doesn't tell you everything.
He just
on
pays
purpose.
The bill. He's just like, he's just like,
he
I don't
pays the bill and
he's
he goes,
like, I don't know what
you're
doing.
You'll see on Christmas, okay?
He's
Hi,
like,
guys.
He's like, I don't know what you're doing. I'm just going to write my name here, sign off there. You guys do what you do.
Like, I have a feeling he's also the person that goes, I really like that idea. Okay, you've given me 4 good ideas. Pick the one you think I like the best. Wink. And then I can't tell you which one we're doing, okay? So I can go to all the press junkets and just smile.
He's like,
and
you know what? You know what? Why don't we put some money behind some of those ideas? You film those. Maybe we'll even throw one in a trailer and then we'll go with whatever we decide on.
Just make sure that we're taking everything out when we edit. You know?
Yeah.
Like those Brazilian spiders.
What?
So in the No Way Home one from the Brazil trailer where they took literally
yes okay sorry
that was a very very obscure yeah. No, stop one second
the only reason
because
I
you literally
up.
Went to like obscure Brazilian spiders and I'm
like
thinking
Brazilian
I'm
spiders.
Like, was that like a villain or something should no. that be something we know about but that's a very far jump
but that's also the same thing weren't yeah. you the one that posted that they decapitated somebody sitting in the chair so you couldn't zoom in and see their face
yeah in the council room there's a quick scene where Doctor Strange is walking into the large open hall and there's about 7 chairs because you don't see the middle one and to the far left of Doctor Strange there's somebody very thin and lanky sitting in a chair with what looks to be some type of emblem on his shirt. And you can't make out, like, if it's not, like, a vibrant blue, but it may be, like, a muted blue, the outfit. And if you look, you can tell that there's, like, Photoshop work of his, like, from above his neck, everything just erased. Like, someone's like, quick, we gotta, like,
scrub out the head.
So
someone was like, we're not having another Spider-Man incident around here.
But that's the thing that, like, I can agree with you at this point. We're like, yes, there's so much information, and it's beautiful, and it's glorious. And wait, where is this all gonna show up? Is this even real?
Well, and that's not even, like, to go into the argument about who that glowing person that's fighting Wanda is. Because a lot of people are saying, oh, it's either Monica or Maria Rambeau.
As Photon, which she's all blue and not with the red. And then the problem that we also had was in the TV spot, it looks more like an Iron Man because it looks like an arc reactor on a chest. But when you go to the trailer proper, it looks like Nova.
But again, they could just change the colors for the trailer.
So much.
Anything is possible.
If you just believe.
Yeah, it's still a toss-up. Like, I'm still not 100% sold that it's either Superior Iron Man or if it's Monica or Maria Rambeau.
I just don't want Tom Cruise.
That's the biggest
thing. I think that's
where everybody's at.
The camel where I'm breaking, Tom Cruise. No, thank you. No. hey, you want to bring back Keanu Reeves as Constantine? Let's go. But that's DC, sorry. I would like him in the Marvel Universe as well, because there were talks about that as well. My brain is tired.
That would be a bold choice.
Wouldn't it? If Keanu was an Iron Man?
Doctor Strange. Whoa.
That'd be cool.
It could be Riri, too. You mentioned that argument the other day. I don't think that's the case. I think
she's scheduled to show up in
She's scheduled for a full show by herself. But then I also had put out it's just as like a complete one off. I'm like, what if it's RDJ but without the goatee and it just blows Steven's mind and he's so angry? That would just do everybody dirty. It'd be so brilliant.
It would. Everybody would be sad.
It would be brilliant.
This movie comes out in June, I believe.
Nope. May. Too long.
So
we have Morbius sometime before that.
I thought that was pushed to October.
Was April 1st the last time I heard.
Are we talking about Doctor Strange? Or Morbius. Yeah, Morbius. I don't care.
We're like Doctor Strange. Sorry. Speed it up.
Oh, April 1st. Okay.
Yep, it's a joke.
Yay. High five.
That's
that high quality, low hanging fruit.
I'm excited to see what it is. Yes, right. The problem I have is that I feel like, much like everything else we do, as a community of nerds, we're gonna dig really deep. We're gonna get super stoked, and then there's gonna come out like a trailer right before the movie comes out that's gonna actually explain some of the things that we've been kind of speculating on.
And it's all Mephisto.
And it's all gonna break our hearts.
This is why I said it was WandaVision Part 2. Because I have a feeling they're just trying to spin up that hype cycle of what everyone was doing around the show.
I am still, and I will always forever be, I wanted WandaVision to be House of M.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay if they're like, surprise, Wanda 2/ House of M. And it's like, yes, yes. But instead of taking, let us add more mutants and friends to our environment.
Well, I think that's what they're speculating is going to be solved by this multiversal council type thing with Professor X, in that he's going to be the representative from that universe. From that universe, the universe where the Fox Marvel franchise is located.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole, we should tell him the truth thing is, because I believe Eric Voss from New Rockstars kind of had a really good point. It would be interesting to hear if Professor X explains to Doctor Strange that their Earth, the current universe that we're in for Marvel, is not the core continuity universe. It's not 616. It's actually the Earth 616 is the one where all the mutants and everything else is stemming from.
So then what are we going to collapse this in, and we're going to take a page out of DC? Well, it would be Battle World.
Or if in a situation where Wanda is so fractured, being a Nexus being and everything's going on, she decides to essentially create mirrored universes of all the universe, or some case, everything.
That's interesting because if they did that, that would also be something that they could play out in the comic books too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That might be the play.
Yeah. So there's a lot of theories behind it. I don't know how much information is 100% in terms of, whether or not it's a go or it isn't. But who knows? I mean, there's still plenty of time. There's still 3 months before then.
I just want to see the Minotaur again.
Or 2 months. 2 months, actually.
Too long.
But that drives us to our last trailer.
Nope.
Which even has longer.
Is Jordan Peele's As Amy Keeps Trying to Play Around.
It is literally one of the best titles, ever.
Film's called Nope.
Yes.
If people haven't caught on yet.
Nope.
Like I said, written, directed, and produced by Jordan Peele. The film stars Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer, and Steven Yeun. Also looks like Danny Glover's in it, too.
So. I want to propose that from now on, for all of Jordan Peele's movie, he cannot release a trailer till 2 weeks in advance. Because I just don't want to wait.
No, do you remember what I texted you when that trailer came out? So when the trailer dropped, I texted Spencer and I said, do you know what? What was it? Last year or the year before?
Oh.
Sometime, I believe it was last year.
In the before times or in the end times?
Last year.
In end the end times.
So, last year, they had mentioned that Jordan Peele was doing a special screening of his upcoming work, his upcoming project.
That's right.
And that they were looking for people to come and watch the film. And I had gotten information about that, but we never, you know, acted upon it as a podcast. We never just kind of made the effort.
You know, that seems really strange for both of us.
I know. Like, I don't recall what was going on.
Like, something had to have happened. That, like,
I think
especially
we were just
when
busy.
It was just Jordan. If it's Jordan Peele, I'm sorry. That's like, unless one of you is becoming a parent, you or is like in the hospital and cannot leave. Well, I think you'd sneak out anyway. But that's it's Jordan Peele at this point. Like, there's not an option to say no. Like, there isn't.
I have no idea what happened.
This is,
and
like,
I could have seen this last year. Wait, wasn't it? Wait, I'm starting to remember something. Didn't they specifically have, like, a restriction against people in the media?
Who were podcasters or something like that?
That might have been
because
it.
I think that's what it was. And I think I was scared.
They were going to Google you and be like, I know the Spencer Williams.
Yeah, I was like, nope, that's what. That seems plausible. That
may have been it, because I believe that might have been it. We couldn't have gotten in because we worked technically in the press.
Yeah, and I was like, let's delete the podcast and start over.
Delete the podcast.
Hey, if you put it on hiatus for 3 weeks, you'll be like, we can change my name.
Spencer's like, I quit. I'll be back and come back to this show, but I quit today.
Like, remove me from all the...
You're Chad. You can be Chad.
I'll come back.
This movie has been talked about for a while, ever since they announced the casting last year around February with Kiki Palmer and obviously Daniel Kaluuya. This movie hasn't really given us a lot of information, even when the poster dropped.
That poster was like fusing.
Like, okay, what is this? It was like an 80s type sci-fi flick or something. The poster looked very obscure because it didn't make any sense. And then we finally got... We got the... pitiful little teaser trailer that didn't give us a dang thing.
It was a teaser trailer?
Yeah, it was a Jordan Peele Presents trailer that was like 31 seconds long, and it just talked about Get Out, and then talked about Us, and then it talked about And Now, blah, 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 and then it had the date of the Super Bowl, like when it was going to drop. It's like, what the?
Okay, I must have missed that
one. I remember that one.
I'm glad.
Yeah, you would have been frustrated. Like,
More than you are now.
I would have came to visit you and there would have been holes in the wall. Like, I have no doubt. So this trailer drops and it's just as cryptic, but with more images.
Yeah.
More entertaining for me, though.
Like, I get the idea. Like, Kiki Palmer and Daniel Kaluuya are either siblings or whatever, but they work on a ranch, a horse ranch, and...
They're horse trainers for Hollywood.
Yes. And so you have this whole situation where they're on this ranch and then stuff starts happening, like clouds start coming in, and you're not sure if they're talking about either sentient clouds or if they're talking about aliens, but something above their heads is coming in and making people go crazy.
Besides crazy, it's making all the noodle men fall down and not work anymore. It's like the noodle men are their warning symbol. Also, I have to say, because I'm an early riser, I got up and I was scrolling through Instagram and literally I saw the opening scene, which is the man riding it's the zoetrope, but him riding the horse. And I was like, what is this? And then I look and I see Jordan Peele's name. It said 9 hours ago. And then it said, what is a bad miracle? And I'm like, I can't watch this right now. I must wait. I need a bigger screen. Please go. So, yeah, it is every which way to Sunday. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, see, like, I saw that the second. I was like, whatever. Just, like, put it on my
phone. You're like, tiny screen, I will accept you. Give to me.
I mean, here's the thing. Whatever the premise for this new film that he's got going, you know there's going to be some amount of, like, social commentary. Mm-hmm. You know there's going to be something in regards to whatever that entity is in the sky. I've seen people speculate, like, NOPE is actually an acronym. Mm. Either, you know, not of planet Earth.
Yeah.
Or for African Americans. N-word of planet Earth.
Oh.
Well, this is speculation of what people are putting out there. That Nope is actually just the smaller abbreviated version of what the bigger idea Jordan Peele is trying to come across with. The trailer has some really unique imagery. You got scary faces with white people, which is just the norm. And then you have a lot of like people looking up, people running. You have Kiki Palmer with her one of her scenes at the end of the trailer, where she's like, yeah, nah, 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 rah. You know, it's just there's a lot going on in this trailer. Mm-hmm. And yet it still doesn't give me jack. Like, I don't know what's happening in the movie.
In other words, he edited. He was the final say on what got cut and put into that trailer. And I appreciate it.
So I feel like this is a good trailer. And kind of what Marvel should do. Not just put in a whole bunch of fake crap. Like, just have something that doesn't really explain anything. You're just trying to entice people to get into your movie. I'm very enticed right now. Great trailer. Good job.
I mean, they could have just done the back of everybody's head and have them talking and then just cut it.
What?
For Marvel, just have the back of everybody's heads. That's how they got us with Patrick Stewart in that. But this trailer for Nope, I am excited. It feels so. I think I've watched almost all of the Jordan Peele Twilight Zone episodes. And this feels like a couple of different ones. They do a version of the original one, I think it was The Traveler from the original Twilight Zone, where they're in the diner.
No.
There was one about an alien that had Steve Ewan in it in Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone, where they go to the diner.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
There was an alien invasion one.
It's not like the original, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So it gave me some of those vibes, but then across the board, like it feels like something that I'm going to watch more than once. Number one. Number two, something that I'm really just out and out excited for, because again, we don't know what's going on, but I'm very concerned about the dang Noodlemen, because I'm like, whatever's happening. And this sounds really dumb.
It does. It
sounds so dumb.
It does.
Because about the hardworking Noodle?
I literally, for the 1 second that you were actually seriously talking, I actually took you seriously. And I'm like, oh, okay, there's something bigger. Maybe we missed something. And then the moment you said Noodlemen, all your credibility shot out the door.
I had no credibility
went
to
down
begin
the street
with. I am
and
the
went
intern.
To went to the 7-Eleven for
the
a Slurpee.
Intern. Oh, I can like, use a Slurpee. No, so here's the thing why I keep bringing up the dang flipping Noodlemen. They have been consistently across this landscape and in this trailer. They're all over the place. And they're acting almost like with signs as early warning.
I'm
going to
laugh
system.
If Jordan Peele comes out and says, so the reason why I put the Noodlemen in there was because I know white people cannot not talk about Noodlemen and the inflatable people. It's like their go-to thing. If he comes out and says that,
literally,
I'm going to bring it up. I will make
a
whole
shot.
Show around that whole concept of the fact
there's
that.
There's a shot of literally when they're doing an overhead of the direction towards the ranch and they're lining the road. Like,
because it's a dirt town. That's what they use. We're
in a ranch,
yes.
Between two hills. You ain't gonna see those things at night.
You
those
need to,
are
you
scary.
Need to travel. You need to travel outside of Sacramento more.
I was in Alaska.
Where does that sound dirt and desertous? Where does that
towards the middle of the state?
Nobody's gonna be outside towards the middle of the state.
Yeah, they will during the summer. Lots of people like to go there.
You're gonna
Look,
make me bring in the opinion of that kid
matter,
who's sleeping on
the
couch
fact
behind you.
The fact of the matter is, it was so. I just
she's gonna bring up the Noodlemen again. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Kiki Palmer was really exciting at the beginning with her exposition about that we are the and the Hollywood horse trainers, and we've had skin in the game since day one. I was
like already. I really feel her. She seems like she's gonna be a great character.
Yeah,
but you know those Noodlemen.
I have a feeling I'm going to get a shirt for Christmas with the Noodle Man on it. Don't think that over like that.
Who's going to wait till Christmas? I'm already shopping now on this computer.
That's confusing.
Here's the thing. And it's the same conversation we had when Us came out. Like, I want this to work. I would like for this to be a success. I just also don't want to buy into the hype just because it's Jordan Peele. you know. Like, I want it to be a good movie. I want the story to be good. We all had high hopes for M. Night Shyamalan, and at one point in time...
Well, he put out one good movie.
I know, but that was the only first one he did. It's like everything else after the fact was just, it didn't meet the hype, and it just started to fall until we got to...
Remember The Last Airbender?
I was just about to say, yeah. But...
I choose not to, until I need to bring it up for something, and then you get mad at me. Mm. It's acceptable then.
It was a garbage movie if you didn't see it.
It was a garbage movie, which is why I'm surprised you brought it up. I'm sure Jordan Peele has a great twist waiting for fans in this film. I haven't seen quite enough for me to be fully on board. I've seen enough to have my interest piqued, but not fully on board quite yet for the film. And that's not me saying I'm against his filmmaking. That's just me saying I expect more from the progression of his films, just like any other filmmaker, which is why Michael Bay's been in the doghouse since, you know, everything. I expect more, and I expect like the progression of his ability to create, you know, his piece, his expose, kind of like on social commentary and things of that sort, and the racial, you know, unrest in the world today. I'm expecting to see something and also grow at the same time when I see his movies. And this one still, it's a head scratcher still, you know?
True.
So
it's literally, the poster is a cloud holding onto the thing.
With a kite tail.
Yeah. And it's moving towards the city, like, or the town. And you're just like, whoa.
Was that what you were looking up on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Also, I appreciate that it's somewhere in inland Southern California, because that thing is barren and nasty for miles as miles go.
Yeah. Any last thoughts on Nope before we continue?
Nope.
I let you have that one, buddy. I waited. The patience.
So, wrapping up really quick, we also have a TV trailer spot for both The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, which, did you guys get a chance to see that one?
Yes.
It wasn't like only 15 seconds?
Nope.
No, it was a...
It was a full trailer. Yeah. Oh, then I wasn't the one that... So the funny thing, the very first one that they released, which was the wood and the pouring metal, and it was like weaving through. That was the first trailer that they put out.
Yeah, this one's a minute long.
I did not see this.
Oops. You didn't see that one. But the first one was all done practically. Like, people thought it was CG, and they did the entire thing practically.
It was 90% of it was practical. Okay. Like, there was just a couple overlays, things like that with CG work. But it was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then this one, it's really interesting. The trailer really does give an interesting perspective on a time prior to the creation of the rings. Kind of gives exposition on the world there. It's very beautiful. They're really pulling out all the stops for this series.
We get to see a young Galadriel, which I'm really excited about. And someone was bringing up proto-hobbits. I think that's who you said at the end is holding hands with somebody.
Well, at the end... Okay, Spencer, when you look at that hand, whose hand does that look like?
It looks like a dirty hand.
Does this hand not look like it belongs to anybody from the main films?
I do not recognize people by their hands. See, so and I this have is the no
thing.
Idea.
So this was the same thing that I had, because I saw him taking the hand and I was like, okay, the smallest hand looks like a hobbit maybe, but I couldn't figure out the other one. And he's like, look at this hand. Look at these cuffs. Look at this person. Who is it?
That could be.
So who was it?
Gandalf, potentially.
Look at the hand.
Oh, his little hand wrappies.
Oh my God, I swear. That's what I was saying. So the trailer looks good. It looks like it's going to really add a lot to the overall mythos of the film franchise. Overall, the presentation of the books and the story, I don't know if it's actually going to take anything from books, because I don't know if there's a book for
Cimmerillion.
This. Does it...
Cimmerillion has some of the stories that would talk about the rings and the trees that go with that, but I am no Stephen Colbert, so... Stephen Colbert loves Tolkien, so...
Also, that debuted during the Super Bowl was the TV spot for Disney Plus's series Moon Knight. Have you seen any of the trailers for Moon Knight?
Yes, I have.
What are your thoughts on Moon Knight so far?
I know nothing about Moon Knight.
Oh. Ames?
But looks interesting.
Yes.
Are you busy over there?
Sorry, I got
sorry to interrupt
again.
You from what
I get
you're.
I get distracted. I easily distracted.
The man says he knows nothing about Moon Knight.
So, there's this guy.
Oh my God.
Possibly an archaeologist. He goes to Egypt. He happens to. I can't remember if he gets beat up or he falls into the tomb.
Probably fell into the tomb.
I believe he falls into the tomb. Anyuski, you know, there's lots of like gods in Egyptian mythology. There is one who offers our main character, and I can't remember his name at this moment because I'm just thinking Oscar Isaacs.
You mean Mark Spector?
Thank you. He offers Mark the opportunity to, he's going to either die or he can become this god's avatar on Earth and, you know, fight for justice and all these shenanigans and stuff. And Mark says, okay. But the problem that we're running into is that Mark doesn't remember who he is. So he's kind of at war with himself. He thinks he's one person and he's not one person. And he keeps waking up and having these, well, if he can sleep, he has these super crazy dreams about monsters and mask vigilante and like, it's crazy. It's a lot of myth, more towards the leaning, because in the Marvel universe as well as in DC, gods exist as a whole. And so in this one, we're exploring more Egyptian mythology, but this also ends up with Moon Knight bringing in a lot more of the supernatural aspects that have started to become more prominent in Phase 4 for Marvel that we get to see, i.e. come on, Blade, come
but
on.
But also on, in that same on, sense, you on. Have the opportunity here for Disney Plus to showcase a little bit more of the PG-13/R-rated ability, because Mark Spector essentially develops dissociative identity disorder, essentially becoming several different personalities. Think Split. That's what he has. And he is one of the more violent 100%. Anti-heroes in the Marvel comic book universe. And his dissociative identity disorder plays a big role in a lot of that. So there's a lot of the character that really does need to move more towards like the Netflix series type, you know, level of chaos and rage.
He's nuts and ragey. Or nuts and... I think... well, Kevin Feige said he was like brutal and nuts, like kind of that balance of it's a mercenary. One of his identities is a mercenary. One of his identities is like Milo Thatch-ish from Lost Atlantis. And then there's another one, and then there's Moon Knight. Like there's multiple and he can't like figure it all out. And so we're dealing with a lot more of the... Yeah, it kind of hits all of those Netflix Marvel series kind of notes. I mean, aside from Iron Fist.
No.
We're not going to talk about that.
So, I mean, it's still like, it looks good, mind you. It does look really good. It's just, how far is Disney going to go in terms of their ability to showcase his full spectrum of ability as a character?
I guess that really depends on where Disney is in their quest to control Disney Plus, on like how far things are allowed to go over there.
Well, I don't know if you guys know, they've announced already at the end of this month, they're removing all Disney or all Marvel Netflix titles from Netflix.
Right.
Yeah, because the stuff reverted back, the properties, blah, blah, blah. They all reverted back to Disney.
So with that said, we may lose any inkling of what that example looks like of a gritty type of Marvel universe, because I know they're not going to put it up on Disney Plus.
No, they're going to make you. They're going to make you pay for it. Put it on Hulu somewhere and lock it up.
Yeah.
So
right after they make you watch the new Chip and Dale reboot.
So anyway, I don't know how they're going to go about with Moon Knight, but so far it looks all right. I'm not fully sold. There's still a lot to be seen. So, any thoughts, Amy?
Yeah, I am tentatively tiptoeing into this because we are getting it, what, after Strange? We're getting before Strange. I think we get
before, I believe.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like the end of March, right? Yeah. So then we're going to get it before Strange, which there's going to be some lead in and tie in there, because consistently Marvel has been, little Marvel has been trying to gently bring in people to big Marvel so that there's more recognition, which I am optimistic, because Senior Feige is at the helm. As soon as they replace him, I'm going to be like, sorry, guys, I got to take a step back.
Yeah, everything's just going to go up in the air when that guy leaves.
It's, or even if they're like, mm-hmm. hey, we're moving you to a different section of Disney, I'd be like, okay, what section? Where do I need to focus my energy to maintain?
Section that had better control more of Disney or something?
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's what they were trying to do with John Lasseter with animation. And we had that conversation a couple of episodes ago about John Lasseter and Pete Doctor, right? Mm-hmm. About them being creative execs for Pixar and then simultaneously rolling into the job for Disney Animation proper, and how it revitalized that section of their company.
Very true. Any last thoughts on any of the trailers that we've talked about? Anything that you didn't get a chance to say? Anything you want to, you know, ramp back up about? Anything you're really excited about? Is there, you know, yeah, let me ask this. Is there any one thing that you're excited more so more than others out of everything from this past weekend?
Ooh, that's a tough one, but it's a toss-up between Doctor Strange and Nope. Mostly I'm just annoyed I have to wait months and not weeks. But that's where I am right now.
What about you, Amy?
I'm not gonna do the noodle man dance anymore. I'm in the
Is that what that was?
Yeah, it looks super ridiculous.
I thought you were just trying to get everybody's attention.
No, I would have just waved frantically. I echo Spencer. I am really excited about Nope and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. But simultaneously, I'm excited to see if Amazon does justice to the glorious moving landscape that is the world of Middle Earth. So, Rings of Power, let's go.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree. I'm excited about Doctor Strange. I'm tentative to do any more digging into Doctor Strange because I feel like I'm going to start doing the whole Mephisto thing, and I don't want to get my hopes up.
Well, what if it is Mephisto?
If it's House of M, I swear to God, I'm Mephisto, going to scream so loud and
if
jump
it's Mephisto,
up and down.
There's a party over at Eric Voss's house. That's all I'm saying. For Nope, I'm super stoked. I really want to know more because I want to be. I don't want to walk into this and not give it the expectations it's due. You know,
I want to walk in and just go, Jordan Peele did it. I'm ready to take this ride. That's
Daddy,
me.
Take me. That's all I heard.
I'm sorry. What?
That's what it sounded like you said. Okay. I was like, okay. As well as, like Amy said, the Lord of the Rings series. It looks interesting. I'm really hoping they hit it on the head. Who knows? Don't give me that crazy look. That's literally what it looks like you were saying. It's Jordan Peele. Daddy, take me. That's all.
Y'all do the same thing for Steven Spielberg, so I don't know what that shenanigans
hey,
is.
I'll do that for Jordan Peele.
You'll do that for John Williams, too. Hey!
That's true.
That's very true.
There's a lot of us that would be yeah, Jordan. Okay, yeah, we're yeah, like, yeah. John Williams, come back, buddy.
I mean, John Williams, Idris Elba, all the same.
You and John Hamm.
No,
Idris Elba more so.
Mm. Ooh, it's switching.
Well, that about wraps up another awesome episode of The Filmlosophers. Remember, you can check us out on our website at filmlosophers.com. There you can check out over 300 episodes of all of our content. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'd love to know what you think. Check us out on our any streaming platform for podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, Spotify, Pandora, and TuneIn. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Give us a 5-star review. Give us a review and let us know what you think. If you like it, let us know. If you don't, I guess let us know too. We need to work on ourselves. Also check us out on our social media as well, over at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101. Amy, where can people find Jane Unseen?
Well, literally the only place it lives, if I ever actually get the waves to put it up there, it's at Jane Unseen on Instagram and Instagram only. If you find another Jane Unseen somewhere, it ain't me, homies. But if you're looking for me personally, I am iJaneURobot on the varying social media platforms. When I'm not interning and making a fool of myself here, I am also a part of The Capeless Crusaders. You can find us at thecapelesscrusaders.com. Your hub, your home for all things comic booky, nerdy, shenanigans, yada, yada, yada. We did a really good episode on God Loves, Man Kills, which is a Chris Claremont X-Men book. So if you want to get rolled up on some of that stuff, check out my fellow brethren of the Capeless Crew.
All right. Well, that wraps up another awesome episode of The Filmlosophers. We can't wait to hear from you next week. Thanks again for listening. And I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
I'm intern Amy.
Class dismissed.